This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Australia's only LGBTIQ+ national news and current affairs show. Proudly sponsored by KHQ Lawyers. Passionate about being the best.
Groundbreaking non-binary artist Dorian Electra is coming to Melbourne later in February. I spoke to Dorian yesterday about their work, what inspires them, and where they're going next with their music. And before we start, apologies, it's not the best telephone line. You're coming to Melbourne. When are you coming?
Yes, I'm coming on February 27th and February 28th. We just added the second show, which is on the 27th, and I'm super, super excited. This will be my first time playing in Australia, and I'm really excited to come out there.
And besides Melbourne, where else are you playing down under?
Playing in Sydney and also Adelaide.
Oh, cool. A little bit about music and ideas that you've had. Like, you've explored a lot of ideas in music, not just through the sound, but through music videos. Where are you going now? What's interesting you now?
I'm still really interested in exploring masculinity and sexuality and gender, and kind of taking some of the themes that I talked about, you know, and explored in my first album, Flamboyant, and just developing those a little further and just kind of going where my interest takes me. I'm really interested in like BDSM and the psychology of sex and fetishes, and so that's something I'm definitely exploring in some of the music that I've been writing. And yeah, also just kind of like this kind of crisis in masculinity in terms of like some masculine people feeling like they're being robbed of an identity and feeling alienation and isolation from communities and society and all that. So yeah, I've been doing a lot of reading about like pickup artists and the incel community, and just trying to understand like this phenomenon. And you know,
at university, is it correct that you studied the great books?
Yes.
The great books tend to be pretty cis white male. How did that inform some of your ideas about gender or the way that you look at the world?
Yeah, it was really interesting because I think going to the school that I went to, where we studied that, there was always like a lot of awareness about, you know, always there are a bunch of like dead cis white males, you know, and I think like I was actually lucky to, I went to one of the more progressive schools that was a great book school, because there are other ones that are like extremely traditional. And I think that the school I went to, like everybody there always challenged those ideas. But I think it gave me a really good foundation for understanding just the history of like Western thought, and then also introduced a lot of newer ideas and more modern ideas that challenge that, like new feminist theory and race theory and all this philosophy that was new to me in college and was really valuable. It helped shape my perspective and change ideas that I had earlier in life or in high school. It was just a really great opportunity to like expand my mind, and I'm really grateful for.
What were some of your favorites?
Let me think. There's so many things that we read. I really enjoyed reading about the history of science and philosophy of science. And kind of like all the learning about the politics that goes into science that, you know, kind of shakes your notion of like, what does it mean, you know, an objective scientific fact, what does that even mean? That was really fascinating. And also learning about like consciousness and philosophy of mind and how the brain works. I was really interested in that. You know, political philosophy and the history of economic theory, all of that was super interesting. But then also reading, like, I loved reading Freud and then reading, like, all of the criticisms of Freud I thought was really fascinating. Yeah. I think that's probably one of my favorite things that I read at school. And, you know, at the same time, like, reading this, like, philosophical perspective, but then also, like, literally psychoanalyzing myself and then being like, oh, this whole framework of psychoanalysis is, you know, messed up in this way or this other way. So it was interesting, the mix of personal and academic exploration that I feel like definitely is something that runs throughout all my work.
So what kind of ideas are you looking at playing with next?
Yeah, there's just kind of what I said earlier about understanding things like the incel community, pickup artists, other things in masculinity, also kind of understanding like the origins of the alt-right and like how this sort of reaction to like the modern left has become so toxic and prevalent and widespread through the internet on, you know, anonymous forums and but it's actually having like a real political impact on our world. And I think it's something that I feel like a lot of people on the left that I know and see like don't often talk about, because it's like, you know, we're so focused on our own ideas and our own language and discourse that sometimes I think people don't focus very much on how to better communicate with the other side, you know? And I think it's important to understand what perspectives are like, quote unquote, opposing yours, so that you can better understand how to communicate with them and understand where people are coming from, why it is that things like Donald Trump resonated with enough people to have him be elected our president, you know? I think like actually looking at others' perspectives and considering them and trying to understand where they're coming from is one of the most valuable things that you can do.
Do you think that how your music plays with genre is kind of doing something like that? Like you're taking, oh, this might sound familiar to you, this might sound familiar to someone else, combining it together and then getting a bigger audience than just the haves?
Totally, yeah. I mean, I love looking at genre in the same way that I look at gender, like this fluid, palette of different things to paint from on a canvas that you can pick and choose, and you don't have to do things in one style. In fact, like that's just very boring to me, you know? Like I think the whole point of making music, if it's going to be anything like interesting, is to try to do something that sounds different or new or add some new element in it, whether it's like the topics you're singing about or the genres that you're blending or the way you're doing it or even the way you look and how you dress or the fashion or the aesthetic. You know, so many different ways to combine things into new combinations, even if you're combining previously existing things, you know? So that's the work of other people too that really excites me the most, you know?
We're both there, smiling like children, without a care. And in the garden, up on the tree, we saw the fruit for you and me. And in the garden, they took a bite, ashamed of the truth, ashamed of the light, cast into darkness. They would be dead. Just like I'm
Dorian Electra's newest track, Adam and Steve, available on their album Flamboyant, which is out now and available anywhere fine music is found. This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.